Thank you for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and give us a rating and review on iTunes. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT Pod, we'll be talking about the two latest pickups from the Cavs. With Joel Embiid looking less and less likely to win Rookie of the Year, we discuss who's going to take that crown. We'll be discussing how the Kyle Lowry injury will affect the Raptors' playoff chances. And we'll have a chat on what's worse, getting dunked on, crossed over, or blocked. And of course, we'll end with a DBS of some of the finest young international players. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Hello, hello, all you beautiful people across Australia and indeed across the world. My name is Nick Busink at JBT Real NJ. Almost forgot my Twitter handle there, Jack.
You got the and, back down.
And thank you so much for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. You're listening to episode 1.20. We hit the 2-0.
The
2-0. The 2-0, yep. On this Sunday, the 5th of March. And with me today, we have the J-Man J-Pod. Jack Manuel, how are we, mate?
Mate, I am very swell. But you almost forgot that we had to do our podcast.
I was. Tell the people why. I did forget. I forgot about you beautiful people, but my mind was off with the fairies, off with the Zeldas.
The Zeldas?
Yeah, with the Zeldas, yeah. My brother bought the new Nintendo Switch and Breath of the Wild, so I was a bit preoccupied playing that. My phone was in my room. I had completely isolated myself. And, yeah, I only heard my phone ring because Chaz called me. He's like, where the hell are you? I was like, oh, shit.
See, I was going to – I messaged you a few times, and then I spoke to Mum on the phone. I'm like, where's Nick? And he's like, he's not here. And then I'm like, Mum, can you put on Chaz? And I'm like, to Chaz, where's Nick? He's like, I don't know. And so Chaz must have called you as well.
Yeah.
Because I was going to call you as well. But we're here. The pod is about to begin. And Nick, mate, you were giving me so much shit for the Bitmojis. So much shit about
when,
it. And
every
now you are
second,
backing on it.
Every second, response, every response you would give me would be in the form of a Bitmoji. I'm still not at that
now.
Level of Bitmoji. I sent you one as kind of like an ironic one, but I like the, like, it looks like me, Jack.
I've got looks more like you.
Yeah,
than
I've got the green eyes, the
nice
hair,
tan.
The tan. Yeah, the bit of a pudgy face. And
what do you think of mine?
And the actual the clothes, a blue polo and red chinos. I literally have that outfit in my wardrobe.
As if you didn't pick though the basketball outfit.
I just saw the blue polo and I'm just like, you know what? I freaking love blue polos. Navy polos. I love polo shirts.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the polo, mate. I like polos. We could. And if you hear that ding, that was me sending Nick a Bitmoji.
Of course it was.
This is also the first pod from my new flat, and I'm hoping I sound a bit better because the internet was installed yesterday, and it's pretty good. I can hear you very crisply.
Beautiful. Yeah, you haven't cut out as yet. I'm sure we'll get some, rate and review us, hit us up with our audio quality. Mine is pristine as usual, but, let us know how Jack sounds at JB Podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the usual plug stuff. But Jack, we are here for basketball. I just got here in time, so let's talk about some basketball, shall we?
Let's smash it out, mate.
All right, mate. What's making general news this week? Following their buyouts from their respective teams, Andrew Bogut and Deron Williams are both joining the Cleveland Cavaliers. I like this move. They were trialing Derek Williams for a while, and then brought in Deron Williams just to confuse everyone. Like, they can't have D. Williams on the back of their shirt. They can't have D. E. Williams on the back of their shirt. They can't have D. E. R. Williams on the back of their shirt. Like, well, it's just a travesty.
Well, funnily enough, earlier in the week, Derek Williams was like, if he wants the nickname D. Will, he can have it. They were already working out what nicknames they should be. And on the starters, they were like figuring out what the nicknames could be. But Derek Williams has been a nice addition to their team.
Yeah, Derek Williams, definitely. Darren Williams would be even better. You know, they wanted that. He wanted the playmaker, and he got two of them.
Oh, fuck. He got it. Yeah. Well, like, I think Darren Williams, he already has. I'm not sure if Bogut, I don't think Bogut's actually played for the team, but it's in the process. He's joined the team, and I'm sure he'll be joining them in their probably next upcoming game. But Darren Williams has already played a few games with the Cavs, and he looked pretty good in the Celtics game. He even had that game-winning shot off the LeBron kickout, which he couldn't nail, but he looks like he'll fit in quite nicely, and he's already said about the Cleveland atmosphere, and Korver has echoed the sentiments of just, it seems like a family, like, you know, they go out for dinners and stuff, and LeBron's just like the best teammate. He's welcoming, creates this family vibe. But I like it. Then both like high picks, like the Cleveland Cavaliers has so many high draft picks now, like LeBron James, Derek Williams was the number two pick. Andrew Bogut was the number one pick. LeBron James, obviously. Like, these guys are stacked.
I mean, they've got an amazing team, and their recruitment this year has been amazing. I mean, they kind of developed into this, you know, as most modern teams are going into this sort of three-point direction, that they sign one of the best three-point shooters in the bloody league right now. LeBron, you know, trying to build a team around him. He acknowledges that he wants a playmaker. And so he gets Deron Williams and Andrew Bogut. And Andrew Bogut, having played for the Golden State Warriors, he kind of, you know, knows what they're about. He's got an extremely high basketball IQ as well. And, you know, I've got a bit of a soft spot for Bogut. Amazing defensively. And offensively, he can still provide, like, he sets, like, mammoth screens. He's going to help that offense ticket as well. So I like what they've done, especially the Deron Williams signing. I mean, 12 points a game, 7 or so assists. He can create.
He's producing.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, producing. He can create. He can create his own shot as well. Yeah, I mean, he's not going to be a liability on the court, that's for sure. And definite upgrade on that point guard position, or backup point guard position. So, good stuff from the Cavs. They're making the right moves come playoffs, definitely. I think. Mate, we talked about this a little bit last week.
It was our favourite news piece.
The infamous Shaq and JaVale McGee feud that took place over Twitter last week has finally come to a close this week with some interesting circumstances. You want to take us through it, Jack?
Yeah, mate. So the Undefeated, an ESPN affiliate website, sort of summed it up beautifully. Shaq summed it up himself. He's like, I'm not going to mention his name ever again. It remains to be seen because, you know, Shaq's in a fool is still Shaq in a fool. But so basically their mothers got involved. So when Shaq was asked, like, why, like, what are you doing, mate? Like, why are you still doing this? Why? And he's like, I'm going to stop now. He's like, why are you going to stop? Is it TNT executives? He's like, it's my mama. And I'm just like this fact that, but JaVale McGee's mum, a former WNBA player and a very acclaimed player in herself, has gone in on Shaq and saying, like, he needs to be fired. TNT need to fire him. He's a bully, all this stuff. I think it's eventually going to cool down, and, you know, there'll be another Twitter feud soon enough for us to all indulge in, but it's good, let you know, because I don't know, it was a bit unsavory. It got a bit personal from both parties. Shaq you know, calling, like, literally saying he was going to fight him, and then JaVale as well calling Shaq a coon, which is, you know, quite disrespectful for any African-American. So it's good that this is over now, because, you know, this is stuff you'd see in a playground where, like, I'm teaching kids, like, you know, these are two grown men, like, you know, Twitter beef shouldn't be a thing in 2017 when you're 30 years old and making millions of dollars.
Yeah, I'm all for, you know, Twitter bants, I guess.
Yeah, we're all about the bants. This is what the podcast is about.
Of course. But yeah, like you said, this was getting very far out ahead. I could just imagine, like, for Shaq to concede like that from his mother, what sort of daunting beast must she be? Like, I know, like, everyone's, you know, got a little bit of, you know, hesitation, I guess, towards disrespecting their parents, especially someone with such high family values as Shaq. And a lot of people, in fact, in NBA, I mean, a lot of them don't come from much, and their families of what they all they've got. So, yeah, it just I would love to have heard the conversation that would have happened between Shaq's mum and Shaq regarding this. It would have just been the funniest thing in the world.
Oh. I agree.
Oh well, we can only speculate, mate. And well, not going to give personal rendition at the fact at the
We will not. We will steer clear of that.
It may sound a little racist.
It would sound very racist.
Anyway, moving on to some other new segments here. The Knicks will waive, obviously, Brandon Jennings and has subsequently come to the Wizards. Good signing there. The Knicks will then sign Chanson Randall. So I didn't even know who that
Chasson
is.
Chasson Randall.
Can you tell me who this guy is, mate?
He's a rookie, and I think Phil is sort of going all in a little bit on his rooks because Hernan Gomez, Porzingis, all the European dudes are killing it for the Knicks right now. And, you know, Mel is still doing his thing. But I'm not sure if you saw this, Nicholas, but the New York Post posted something in relation to Brandon Jennings. He's played one game. And he had a bit of a swipe to say at the New York Knicks. He's, and I quote, "I'm in the same position I was in New York, but just in a better system for me personally and with a team that actually plays together. Hashtag shots fired. Bang, bang, Knicks Nation."
Yeah. I mean, same position in the sense of backup guard. But yeah, I mean, our team, our stability is a billion times better than that seen at the Knicks. That train wreck there, I mean, he was good to get out of it when he could, and ultimately it was the Knicks' decision to waive him, but we will happily sign him, get a bit of the guard depth for the Wizards.
Yeah, it's a great signing by you guys, but one thing that like really bewilders me is the fact that they couldn't get anything for him, like even like a late second rounder. Like,
yeah, Brandon, I know, like I found it and the odd same when they waived him. I mean, I am often wrong about NBA things, as you know. But when I saw them waive Brandon Jennings straight after a trade period, I'm just like, what? Was there no trade value for him?
Yeah,
but there would have been. He's a good guard.
Yeah, and I think he's as good as... Like, early in the season, he was producing as much as Derrick Rose, and there was talks that, like, you know, he should be the number one point guard there. And, I mean, D. Rose doesn't really want to be there anymore because... The triangle is now being implemented, you know, Phil with his old ways. I'm reading about it in the Michael Jordan book and he's saying how he initiated the triangle. But you can't do the triangle unless you have bona fide superstars. And Derrick Rose came out and said, like, what do you think about the triangle? And I quote, he said, shit, do I have a choice? So, like, Derrick Rose isn't made for the triangle at all.
Yeah, I mean, he's been voicing his discontent over that for months now, since the start of the season.
Yeah,
him and Mello, I mean, we don't like it.
Exactly. We could speak for ages about the Knicks, but there's February and just wasn't a great week for a month, and March, early March, wasn't a great month for NBA injuries with Joel Embiid and other players. But Kyle Lowry of the Toronto Raptors is having wrist surgery. He's aiming to be back just before the playoffs. Nick, I ask you, how is this going to affect the Raptors and their playoff push?
It may actually kind of suit them. If they drop a few games, they could not verse... because as it sits right now, they're going to be playing... if they win their... presuming that they will win their first playoff series, they'll be versing Cleveland in the second round, which could be bad. But if they finish 6th, 7th, because I don't think they'll be going up from here, and, you know, their stats show that as well. That, I mean, today DeRozan had an absolute stinker. So he is human, and I know he is human. We beat them a few days ago in Toronto, and then they came to DC and beat us. But today was strange. So DeRozan can't take it all on himself. He needs that second person. I don't think Corey Joseph is up to the task at that starting guard spot. So it will definitely hurt their ladder position. Whether that hurts their playoff chances, I guess. I think they'll be okay. If they drop down to, you know, your sixth, seventh spot, they don't play. They won't play the Cavaliers until the conference final, which may be bad. I mean, at the end of the day, the Cavaliers, they're expected to win. So whether you play them early or later, you're still probably going to lose. But at least you've made it to the conference finals, so it'd be the easiest road there. And if they make another conference finals, that's a success in Toronto's eyes.
Yeah, and I think because they pushed them to six games in last year's Eastern Conference Finals. They'd be hoping that the Kyle Lowry comes back. Look, they're not the Golden State Warriors. They can't just have, like, you know, KD sit out the first round. They don't have that luxury. They need the star power of Kyle Lowry to come back. Hopefully a few games before the playoffs so we can get some reps in. But I still think that they're a force. Serge Ibaka, Patrick Patterson, Norman Powell's been doing some nice things as well. So I still think that they've... they're a force. They're in that, you know, that same bracket as the Wiz and the Celtics, but it all remains to be seen. It's going to be a jostle in that 2-5 sort of range for the Eastern Conference playoffs.
I mean, they've done well to kind of stay in that fourth position. They're only half a game off us. That first loss against the Wizards hurt them a lot, so they came back to DC really firing, won that one. So they're still only half a game off. They're two games in front of Atlanta. So there's a little bit of leeway there, but there's still a lot of games that Kyle Lowry will miss.
Yeah.
And now I'm pretty sure Carroll? I think Damari Carroll went out.
Damari Carroll, yep.
Yeah, went out today injured. So whether that's a long-term thing or... I mean, it's just looking bad for the Raptors right now.
It is. And look, injuries at this time of year are definitely not, but... at least they're not happening in the playoffs. I guess there's, if you're looking at a glass half full approach. But I mean, we'll speak more about the KD injury in our DP of the week. But this just in, Nicholas, former NBA superstar Amari Stoudemire is a homophobic asshole. Tell us more.
Thanks, Jack. Here at the scene now.
we're here in Israel.
Here in Israel.
We'll get across to our NBA correspondent in Israel.
If only we were that organized.
Well, like, I'm in London, so technically we should have some international correspondents.
Yeah, I'll just call, I don't know, Jimmy.
Do you have any relation?
Jimmy,
Jesus.
Jimmy the Jew down in Israel. I'm sorry. That was bad. I apologize. That was distasteful. Untasteful? No, it's distasteful.
Yeah, it's distasteful.
I'm going to say untasteful, Anyway, Amare Stoudemire, playing in the Israeli league at the moment, was asked whether he would be okay with a homosexual teammate. And there's a video going around, all his teammates were saying, yeah, I mean, that's fine, very open-minded people. That being said, I don't really think it's that open-minded to accept a homosexual person, but... apparently, to Amare Stoudemire, it is. I mean, he's a very close-minded individual, and saying that he would steer clear of a gay teammate, saying, "quote, I'm going to shower across the street. I'm going to make sure my change of clothes are around the corner, and I'm going to take a different route to the gym." And even when asked if he was joking about it, he said, "I mean, there's always some truth within a joke." And so those are quotes there from Stoudemire, and it's a shame that this sort of stuff still exists.
Yeah, I know, and it's odd because you'd think he'd learned his lesson, because in 2012 he had a very similar, he was fined by the NBA, pretty sure he was playing for Phoenix at the time, for using a homophobic slur. So it seems like this is embedded in his psyche, and I guess, and even in 2017, I didn't know that this sort of thing, unless you were like, you know, George Karl or Phil Jackson or something.
Yeah, I mean, he's not entirely old. I mean, exactly. It's just a matter of like the harsh prejudice against, you know, LGBT groups. And it's still very, very prevalent. And even in, you know, I wouldn't say he's a massive personality, but he's well known across the NBA nation, I guess.
Absolutely.
So it's a shame that he would come out and say these things. And then to even ask, I mean, just put your pride at your side. And it's like, are you joking? It's like, oh, yeah, I'm joking. Don't worry.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like the reporter gave him an out. It's like, come on, are you serious? He's like, well, sort of. And I'm just like, oh, God. But speaking of fellow NBA idiots, Matt Barnes, one of our favorite guys here at JBT.
Oh, yeah.
Has penned we're a big fan. He's penned a deal with his former team, the Golden State Warriors, in light of KD's recent injury. Similar to the Cavs, it's a worthwhile move, and I think he's going to maybe not have that impact in the playoffs, but I think it's a nice move until KD gets himself right for when he's healthy.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Look, Matt Barnes can play some. He can shoot a three. He can play some nice D. He's got some good energy. I like the move, and you know they were initially going to sign Jose Calderon, but that didn't work out. Well, technically he did. I mean, Nick, do you want to tell the people what happened with Jose?
Well, Jose Calderon did sign for the Warriors for an hour and, what was it, 15 minutes?
No. Yeah, I think it was about between 1 and 2 hours.
Yeah, between 1 and 2 hours. And he made a cool $515,000 in that time.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not too bad. Well, to correct you, it's $415,000. So it's a little bit less. But still, to be paid $415,000 for doing nothing.
For an hour and 20 minutes or whatever it was. Yeah,
he didn't even he didn't even go to the stadium. And like, did you see the photo going around on Twitter and around the NBA of the NBA jersey that had Calderon's name on it?
Yeah, I did.
That'd be like that'd be cool to have. Like to have like just one of those really. It's like having like the MJ number 45 and the 12. Like, it'd be cool to have that Jose Calderon jersey from the Golden State Warriors, but
it wouldn't quite have the same effect as the...
Probably not.
The MJ attire.
but still, it'd be nice to... I mean, we love our jerseys. We're big fans. Like, I was packing to the end yesterday. I'm like, holy crap, I've got a lot of NBA jerseys.
Yeah.
But he has recently signed with the Atlanta Hawks, and all best of luck to Jose Calderon and the Atlanta Hawks and Matt Barnes and... Bogut and Deron Williams, but
just
we'll be
on
right
that,
back.
That Barnes trade, I thought it was like it showed a lot of stones from the Warriors. I mean, the second KD gets injured, obviously that small forward position isn't a deep position in the Warriors. So I thought it was a really, really good move. I mean,
stabby
considering the time restraints they had. They picked up a good small forward. I mean, obviously, KD is an elite small forward. Never going to be the same person. But to fill that void while he's gone, Steph can go back to being, you know, classic Steph if he can improve his shooting game a little bit. And so, you know, Steph and Clay have full reign of the court again. Get Draymond involved in that offense a little bit more. It could be, you know, some of the same Warriors that we saw last year, just with a different piece.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with you, Nick. The fact that they could do this deal so quickly with the time constraints, as you mentioned, that they had, it just proves that how adept this organization is from the GM Bob Myers down to Steve Kerr in the playing roster. They are the standard with the San Antonio Spurs. But with that, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with DP of the Week.
You're listening to JBT Podcast. Be sure to head on Facebook and give us a like. Welcome back to JBT Podcast. Interesting week this week for some discussion points here. Jack, we've got a few here. and some nice ones. I really like this week's discussion points. With Joel Embiid looking less and less likely to win Rookie of the Year with his indefinite knee injury, who is going to win Rookie of the Year? We did this last week. Obviously, things changed now that he... You know, this isn't excluding Joel Embiid. This is assuming, well, he's going to be out for the rest of the year and how that influences the Rookie of the Year standing. So, Jack, is he still winning it? Has he done enough?
In my... This has been probably the biggest talking point of the week. And, you know, everyone from the starters to ESPN to the jump to everywhere has been talking about, has Joel Embiid done enough to win Rookie of the Year? In my... somewhat expert opinion, I think he has. I've read a lot, I've been watching a lot about, like, you know, his statistics. There's one that really stands out to me as a bit of an outlier. Mark Stein wrote a really good article on who his Rookie of the Year is, which happened to be Joel Embiid for the record. Patrick Ewing's 50 games played in the 1985-86 season is the previous record low for a Rookie of the Year contender. Winner, sorry. So Joel Embiid's played almost 20 games less than that. So it would be a new record 30 years later. And I mean, Patrick Ewing's no scrub himself. So I'm sure that Ewing was probably doing things that, you know, Joel can dream of doing. But he's just been so dominant. And he's by, like you mentioned during our break, he's by far the best player out of this rookie class. It'd be almost like, you know, a consolation prize if you were to give it someone like Dario Saric or Malcolm Brogdon or Yogi Ferrell.
I agree in that if they won it, which is looking likely, I know the league tends to put a lot of stock into games played, minutes played. I mean, there was a lot of cloud around whether Joel Embiid would actually win Rookie of the Year because of his massive minutes restriction. That obviously got proved to be a farce as soon as we found out what sort of player he was or is. But this injury could set him back big time. Like, and we're not talking about, you know, it would set a new record, but by 20 games, that's 40% less games.
And yeah, Nick, the minutes, the starters posted as well. In terms of minutes, Joel Embiid has played 786 minutes this year. In that 1985-86 season, Patrick Ewing played 1,771 minutes. So it's 1,000 less minutes on the floor.
That's like, I mean, his usage rate and his efficiency rating has been through the roof. Yeah, 15 is the, you know, PR's bell curve. 15 is the average. He's averaging, he's getting 24 this season.
Yeah,
he's insane. Basic. 20 points a game. He's easily the best rookie this year. But it doesn't mean he should win Rookie of the Year. And that may be one of the stupidest things I've said. The best rookie doesn't deserve Rookie of the Year. But I feel that, you know, players like, you know, your Dario Saric, your Malcolm Brogdon's would feel shortchanged if they didn't win this award. I mean, they could be humble about it and be like, you know what, Joel Embiid is amazing. What he did in that first half of the season was unbelievable. Give it to him. But then I feel someone like Saric would probably be like that, being on the same team.
Yeah.
But if it were me, I would feel really, really hard done by if I didn't get that award. And it's not like, I mean, the rest of the class has been a way off Joel Embiid's performance, especially by 36 minutes. But I don't know. You got to put in the effort.
Nick, I'm picking your boy, the guy that you picked at the start of the year. I still think he'll win it because I think he deserves it, even though his durability and, you know, his minutes played isn't reflective of, you know, a season's worth of minutes, a season's worth of, you know, performances. Who do you think then, if Joel Embiid doesn't win it, wins this award?
Well, I want him to win it. Don't get me wrong. He's the best rookie, but that's just not how it works. If I was predicting who was going to win, it wouldn't be Joel Embiid. But if I had a vote, I would definitely vote for Joel Embiid.
Right.
I'm going for his teammate, Darius Šarić, and I said this last week, and even this week's performances, he's just been getting better. I think the absence of
Joel Embiid.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's right. So he's going to be playing better than what he was at the start of the season. So I think with all those games played, I mean, if he plays, I think he's played all of them so far, Šarić. He hasn't started them all, obviously, but he's played 62, yeah. So if he finishes this season playing all 82 games, I feel he could win, especially if he bumps up that average by a few points more. I mean, it's so hard to predict, especially with Joel Embiid's sort of amazing, like all-star, possibly potentially all-star year.
He was in that conversation,
yeah. And it was just, he was that good. But you play 31 games, geez, it'd be hard to stomach if I was another rookie. Is all I'm saying.
Agreed. And I mean, we could chat about this for quite a while, you know, delving into the stats and everything. But at the end of the day, it's going to be up to the media cohort who do the voting, and some of that media cohort may not have even seen Joel Embiid play in person. Like, you know, if he hasn't done a road trip game to, say, a Utah or a Denver, then, you know, those reporters aren't likely to vote for him. So it'll definitely be interesting come the end of the season whether he wins it. But another DP we have here, Nicky Boy, and I posed it on my Twitter at the JManJBT. In light of KD's return home to Washington, we thought we'd pose the question, if he weren't at the Warriors right now, where would he be? And I've got a few options for you, the listeners, and you, Nicky Boy. We've got the Boston Celtics, San Antonio Spurs, Washington Wizards, or would he still be at the Oklahoma City Thunder?
I feel you're missing at a few teams there, because he took
meetings with a lot of
teams.
Yeah, there were the other two teams were the Clippers and the Heat.
Clippers, yeah.
Those are the two ones.
Yep.
So, like, you know, he could be on those teams as well. But in terms of likelihood, the Clippers probably could be. We can chat them in. But the Heat were never going to happen.
No.
It's, you know, the Pat Riley effect. But for me, I mean, I'm going to answer my own question here, or our own question. I would have been surprised if he had have left. I was surprised he left for the Warriors anyway.
I mean, everyone was.
So,
I mean, the talk.
So that's why I'm sticking with the OKC Thunder. Like, if everyone's so surprised that he left in the first place, wouldn't you think that he would still be there? Like, he wasn't going to go home back to Washington, as much as you would have loved it, Nick. And you would have probably fainted if you had.
Like, man, but it kind of, you know, who would I prefer, Kevin Durant or Otto Porter playing the way he is? Yeah, you know, it's a tough choice, but yeah, I mean, I would have loved to see him come back down to Maryland, but it's not going to happen. And if it did happen, it would be in the twilight of his career, not in his prime. So,
did you see the article by the Washington Post? And it was an interview with KD, and it mentioned, like, he said that he achieved all he wanted to achieve back home in Maryland, and he needed to go into a new chapter of his life. So I respect that as just a person. You know, once you think you've done everything, like, why do you want to go back? And, like, if you think you've got everything out of that experience, what's the point? So, yeah, Washington weren't really a thing, even though, like, you know, last year when OKC went to visit the DC arena, Verizon Center. The Verizon Center, like, the opposing fans, the Washington Wizards fans, were cheering him. And he didn't like that, and it's a weird thing. Like, you know, it's the Jay Crowder thing as well with the Gordon Hayward. So he was never going there, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts, Nick. Do you think he would still be with the Thunder? You were mentioning there might be another team he might have jumped onto. Like, what do you think?
I mean, it's kind of, for me, it's I can break this down into two questions. I was definitely surprised with his initial leave, and I think everyone was. So in that sense, yes, he would definitely stay at the at OKC, trying to, you know, build on that sort of blew a 3-1 lead in the conference finals, try to establish something with.
I know I haven't said this in a while, Nicholas, but let me stop you right there. And this is due to the meme that I love more than anyone. Does anyone remember the fact that Goldman's gym blew a 4-1 lead at the Las Vegas dodgeball tryouts? Does everyone just forget that?
I saw that. That was a great meme.
How good was that? It was so good. We should watch Dodgeball when I come home. It's such a good film.
Dodgeball, Space Jam, and School of Rock. It would be beautiful. But what was I saying? You made me lose my train of thought.
About the OKC Thunder and the blowing the lead.
Yep. And he would have tried to build something with Westbrook and, you know, getting rid of Ibaka, bringing in Oladipo, Sabonis. I feel those trades were built around KD as well. And then he just left, much surprise to the league. And I feel the association, the whole NBA world, I guess, was taken aback by that trade. So he would have definitely stayed if he hadn't have left to the Warriors. It's just something he was saying, the Warriors felt so much more of a family. And I don't feel that, especially the Wizards at that time, we just fired Randy Whitman, getting in a new bench team. I mean, our organization wasn't in the best of places. In terms of where I would like him to go, I would have liked him. Obviously, the Warriors, we're actually seeing it firsthand right now, but I wouldn't mind him going to the Clippers.
Yeah,
I agree, I think Chris Paul there would be a very, very scary prospect, and Blake Griffin.
And I mean, I wouldn't have minded seeing, you mentioned a team during the break as well, the Celtics I think is a really good one, because yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing LeBron actually having some competition in the East. You bring KD to the Celtics, and I mean, they wouldn't have gotten Al Horford had they ever got KD, but Isaiah Thomas, KD... Imagine that scoring.
Very, very scary, scary prospect. And a cousin, my cousin Michael, is a Celtics fan, and obviously me being a Wizards fan, we were kind of debating on where KD was going, and then he didn't go to either of our teams. It was like, shit. but yeah, he was very, very excited, and he was on the the Boston Celtics KD campaign, I guess.
And Nick, I mean, I was very surprised to hear that he didn't have a meeting with the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, did that not surprise you at all?
Can't say that it did, mate. Who would want to go there?
Jeremy Lin, mate. Lin Sanity 2.0.
Yeah, okay. But correct me if I'm wrong, he's been playing some bad basketball lately.
He's been playing okay. He hasn't been... But, you know, this ain't about Lin Sanity. All right. Hashtag Brook-Lin.
That's what it's about. Who cares about how they play? It's the acronym. It's the hashtag.
It's all about the hashtag, mate. Hashtag Brooklyn Grit. But yeah, we want to hear your guys' thoughts. You know, check out the Twitter page, check out our Facebook. We want to hear where you think KD would have ended up. We think it's an interesting discussion point for those listeners that are tuning in. But our final DP of the week is via Clutch Points. And we added in an extra one to sort of make it our own. They posted a photo of what do you think is worse, or what would be worse to happen to you? A, getting dunked on. B, getting crossed over. And we added this in. Or C, getting blocked. Getting your shot blocked, like at the rim, or a dunk blocked. This is a good one. What do you think is the worst out of these, Nick? What's the most embarrassing, emasculating?
Easy, to be honest. I mean, when you sent me this... the initial two, getting dunked on or getting crossed over. I said getting dunked on easily.
But I think getting crossed over can be like.
The opposite. I did say getting crossed over. I feel that getting crossed over it's just a show of the other person's sheer skill, and yeah. a dunk is bad. But getting dunked on is just it's nothing. It's nothing terrible.
No, but like the thing is, and we've seen like live some huge dunks, like that Porzingis, like that Dwight Howard dunk on Porzingis, and then I saw the Larry Nance Jr. one on Brook Lopez. It is emasculating to be dunked on.
See, I don't think so. I mean, it's more
really?
The more impressive part. It's not of the like the disrespect, I guess, of getting dunked on, and that's what it is. It's sheer disrespect
it's
for
power.
Your defensive for your defensive
yeah.
effort. But this dunk is more spectacular. But getting crossed over, it's just like you've fallen flat on your heels by your own accord. Like you've
good point.
You've screwed your own feet up because of my handles, and I've just made you look a complete fool. It's like
to be fair.
It's like, you know, tricking someone. It's the difference between tricking someone into falling over or pushing them.
Yeah. Like, and look, I think they're both, and why I like this a lot as a discussion point is because it is quite a good, like you could talk about it, and they're both so different. Like getting dunked on is a display of power and strength, whereas getting crossed over, it's like, your brain literally can't comprehend and make the movements like, you know, Steph Curry on CP3 or CP3 on Steph Curry or Kyrie Irving on everyone in the league or Isaiah Whitehead, my boy, on Wayne Ellington. It's like, you know, you lose your feet and it's just like, oh, fuck.
But it's a two-part. The thing about like getting crossed over, it's a two-part thing. You got to get them on the floor, one, but then you have to shoot.
You can't not shoot.
You could be the worst three-point shooter in the league, but if you've crossed someone over at the three-point line,
you have to shoot.
And if you miss it, then
it doesn't count. Exactly.
So it's hard.
I wholeheartedly agree.
And pulling off a successful crossover is hard because it's that shot as well.
Yep.
It doesn't make the highlight reel if you don't make that shot.
No, but like, and this is another element, I guess, to the crossover. Like, the crossover three is pretty disrespectful because it's a three-pointer. But there's another element of the crossover, like where if you cross over someone and like, you know, you break their ankles and then they get to the rim and they like go past you. That's happened to me before. And I don't like that when an offensive player can get past me. It's just like, oh fuck, I couldn't defend a person because their handles were so good. So there's a lot of different elements. And I mean, they're getting dunked on like a poster dunk, like, you know, Zach LaVine. There was like John Wall had a huge array of like left-handed dunks this week. And they were just like disrespectful. There's different elements to them, but we could chat this about for a while. We want to hear your thoughts as well. Like, you know, jump on Clutch Points, hit us up on JBT. But after the break, we'll be back with. Oh no, we've got a game of the week. I forgot. Nick, game of the week. What have we got, mate?
Jumping the gun a little bit there, Jack. We didn't even talk about what's worse, getting blocked. What are you doing to me, mate?
Well, no, but like I think I literally don't care. Like, about getting blocked.
I hate getting blocked. Like, I hate it. Look, it is the worst out of the three.
Really?
I hate it so much. It is so... Especially when it's an emphatic block, there's nothing more embarrassing. Like, it's... I take it personally. And it affects my game. And it's really bad that it does. But... you know, because, you know, blocks happen a lot in the game. And especially back in the day. When you're faced with a bigger opponent, blocks are sort of inevitable almost. But there's something about it that is so disrespectful.
Like, when we did our Toon Squad days, Chaz's blocks were just, like, disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, they were horrific blocks. They were... And there is no worse feeling in the world than... Because there's something... It gets you. A block gets you excited. I blocked I pulled off one monster block in my basketball
time. That block
time.
Was amazing, by the way.
Chase down block felt like LeBron. and afterwards, like the high you get, because the whole team's on your side. It's just like, damn, that was such a good defensive effort. And it just makes the other person just feel so small, so little.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. You feel so small, but there's different types of blocks like with the crossover. Like Hassan Whiteside has mastered the grab block. He did one this week where he's just like, nope, that's my basketball. I'm like, and it doesn't look as flashy as like the SWAT. like the swap block where it's just like you send the ball into the stands. But you're keeping possession of the ball for your team when you do that block.
Like, I feel it's like, more disrespectful than a block, than a swat. Because you swat and you're like, get that out of here, not in my house, blah, blah, blah.
It's mine.
But like, if he just picks it out of the air, he literally just picks it out of the air. And then it's just like, well, shit. That was, it just made your, like, you might have made a good move or like you try to, you know, teardrop that in, try to make like a nice finesse move and he just plucks it out of the air.
Yeah.
And you're just like, and I mean, wow, that was bad.
And I mean, we could change this DP in another light and say, like, what do you prefer to see on the court? Like, you know, a massive block, a massive crossover, a massive dunk. But we've spoken enough about this and it's a great discussion point. So yes. We'll get on to game of the week, Nicky boy. What's our game of the week this week? There was a bit of an Eastern Conference Finals preview for our game of the week.
Very, very playoff-esque sort of basketball and vibe at the Garden. It was Celtics v Cavs. In a possible preview in the Eastern Conference for what could be the Eastern Conference Final. And if there's anything like that game, obviously playoff basketball is amazing basketball, but that. The atmosphere there at the Garden was incredible. What a game that was. I mean, it's worth a rewatch as well. There's been a few games like that, just like sheer high quality, like super close. Oh, it's just brilliant rewatchability. Like I find sports, once I know the result, I find it really hard to watch it again.
Basketball isn't one of those though.
See, I feel it is. I can't watch a basketball game.
Not a full game, no.
But things like playoff games, you can watch. Like finals, you can rewatch because it's just the intensity. Like it brings you back to that moment. But
yeah,
these games are just amazing. Especially if you haven't seen them before. Screw the result. But it's just the atmosphere and the tension in the stadium. It was brilliant. I mean, much like the Wizards Cavs game, it was just a high quality game of basketball. You know, twists and turns everywhere. It was just, a brilliant game of the week. Your pick there, Jack. So, good stuff.
Killing it.
Too easy. So we're going to take a break now. We're not jumping the gun this time. We actually are going to take a break. And on the other side, we've got JB Team of the Week. You're listening to JBT Podcast. Be sure to give us a rating on iTunes. Welcome back to JBT Podcast. We'll kick off right away, Jack, with JB Team of the Week. For those of you who are new to the podcast, this is where we pick a fantasy basketball team for the week just gone. One player per position. Who was best in each of the five spots? So we'll start here. I'll do the backcourt with the point guard. And I think there's, you know, no other player in this regard who should get it than Russell Westbrook, winner of the Western Conference Player of the Month for February, and rightly so. He put up 3 triple-doubles this week. This week.
In a week.
This week. And 4 games of 40-plus points in a row this week. Just this week.
I have to laugh. Like, that's all I can do.
I mean, one of his triple-doubles you could argue for last week, but in terms of the pod cycle, it was this week, so we're going to include it. So he put up 3 triple-doubles this week, and they're all worth mentioning. We usually only do one performance, but these are all worth mentioning. 17 points, 18 rebounds, 17 assists against the Lakers with a win. He did not shoot well from the field there, but he still remained a plus-minus of plus 19. You know, as soon as he realized he wasn't shooting well, facilitated his team with 17 assists. And if those shots were going down, that could have easily been another 40-point triple-double.
Ridiculous.
He got 41 points, 11 rebounds, 11 assists against the Pallies in another win. And finally, 43 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists against the Jazz in another win. So he's getting those wins on the board for OKC. And in that Jazz game, he shot 6 from 9 from 3. So an impressive 3-point performance from the Beastbrook. At shooting guard, we've got DeMar DeRozan. using his clutch mid-game to secure a win over the Knicks, shooting 52% from the field, notching 37 points and 8 rebounds in the absence of his guard brother in Kyle Lowry. So he can still run that offense by himself. Lately, yeah. Well, he had that one game where he struggled, but he can still turn it on when he wants to, and now he needs to. So, Jack, you want to take the front court, mate?
Will do, but before I do, DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, hashtag best NBA bromance.
Oh, true.
It's so good.
True.
It's so good. At small forward, we have Jimmy Butler had an 18-point triple-double in the Bulls' win over the LeBron-less Cavs earlier in the week. D-Wade was one rebound.
That's a mouthful.
That's not, yeah, like LeBron-less. Yeah, it's a very... it definitely doesn't roll off the tongue so nicely, but... In the same game, D-Wade had a nice performance, probably put in, would have been up there with our shooting guards, but, you know, we don't do honorable mentions anymore. At power forward, Blake Griffin, who has been doing some, he's been balling lately.
Yep.
Including in a win over the, in an OT win over the Nets, led the Clippers with 43 points and 10 rebounds. And then in a very heated debate Nick and I had earlier in the week over whether would Jokic and one of his few triple doubles land him at the center position, or would it be Kat with his monster night against Houston? And we consulted some of our friends, i.e., Maggers, and we the vote went to Kat. Not on my account, so you know if you've got any issues with this, hit us up, hit up Nick up on Twitter at JBTRealNJ. Kat had a massive night. Still very much worthy of a center position in JBA Team of the Week. In their loss to the Houston Rockets, he had 37 points and 22 rebounds. So a big 20-20 game, to say the least. And shot 16 of 24 from the field in a complete offensive masterclass. 16 of 24 from the field is just something else, especially for someone like Kat who likes to take those J's. And that is JBA Team of the Week.
Beautiful. Just a recap. We've got Russell Westbrook at the one, DeMar DeRozan at the two, Jimmy Butler, Blake Griffin, and Karl Anthony Towns. That is a solid lineup, mate.
It's, not too bad.
That's my future 2K lineup. Jeez, that would cost a lot.
you would not have the cap at
no,
all.
No, definitely not. Who would take a pay cut? No, no one would take a pay cut. They're all superstars.
Kat might be on a somewhat still rookie scale contract. He's not at a max yet. Russ would not. Yeah, Kat's probably your most likely.
Yeah, but the cut he would have to take would be tremendous.
Yeah, he'd have to like sign a rookie scale contract for the rest of his career.
Yeah, I know. Oh, well, one can dream. Move on, Jack, with our stat of the week. And it comes in light of the Matt Barnes trade that happened this week. Matt Barnes is about to play. Well, he is when this tweet came out. He hadn't signed yet. But he has played for all four California NBA teams in a span of 6 seasons. And that's crazy. There were some comments on this tweet as well. I mean, that is an amazing stat in its own. And there were questions on, it's like, this has to be a first for a single player to play for four California NBA teams in the span of 6 seasons. And it turns out he's the first player ever to play for all four without the six-span season.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And just an additive, Steve Blake and Josh Powell managed to play for the Lakers, Clippers, Warriors, and Sydney Kings for the NBL.
That's right.
So that's a interesting stat there from the comment section. Who knows how accurate it is, but I believe it. I'm getting on the train. So yeah,
the Blake train.
Good on him, Jack. You want to take us through the next few segments?
Yeah, mate. So quickly going through my pot of the week, the J pot of the week. You'll see today's Sam Amick NBA A to Z podcast. Jump on that, give it a subscribe like you do with JBT. Had a special guest, ESPN's David Thorpe, who provided some real insight. That's because he's a former coach, his relationship with former and current NBA players. his insight into Amari Caspi and his move to the Pelicans and his recent injury and waiver was a real highlight. I highly recommend it. You know, the J-Man, he loves listening to his podcasts, and that is my J-Pod of the week. So on to Off Topic, which is a really good one this week. Kind of happy with this one. It is literally favorite words in the English language. Nicholas, I'll kick us off with one that we've mentioned in probably the past three podcasts since Valentine's Day. Swell.
Swell
is a swell word.
It's a good word. I mean, I've been using swell for since I saw Revolutionary Road, actually. it's a funny story actually behind that. I was watching it with my beautiful girlfriend Chelsea, and after some in the film, I should add, in the film, Leo and Kate Winslet engaged in some sexual acts.
Hey.
And afterwards, Leo, being his suave self, turned to Kate and was like, "You were swell." And I was just like, that is the greatest thing in the world. So now I say it.
That's the best post-coitus comment I've ever heard in my life.
It's
swell.
Yeah, it's pretty great. But until I started actually researching some, you know, favorable words, I had a few of my, you know, own that I've kind of, you know, mentally noted down. So, I mean, I really like superfluous.
Superfluous quality.
Ooh,
quality.
It rolls off the tongue. Off the tongue. It means unnecessarily excessive.
That's you, mate.
Yep.
That's you.
I am unnecessarily excessive. Things like superfluous, nonchalant as well.
Nonchalant is quality.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of those, like, I feel a lot of kind of French adapted English words are going to be on this list as well.
Correct.
Just because they're not English and they're just something so much different. So, yep. But I have discovered a plethora. There you go. I love that word too.
Plethora is awesome.
A plethora of beautiful sounding words, just general internet searches. And my new favorite word, mate, from BuzzFeed site, actually, mellifluous. It makes you feel good.
It does. It's literally what it means. The meaning, it's an adjective, a sound that is sweet and smooth, pleasing to hear. Mellifluous is mellifluous.
Mellifluous is an onomatopoeia. And that's another word. It's like, it's a great word, onomatopoeia. It's
quality
just
word.
Onomatopoeia is a word that sounds like it should sound, like oink or honk. Etc. Can't think of any more at the moment. Woof.
Good one.
Yeah.
Serendipity and serendipitous are both quality words.
Yes.
Shout out to Ali for that one. Serendipitous, one of her favorites.
Give me some definitions, mate, because the peasants here, I know their vocabulary might not be as broad as ours.
Oh, Jesus, Nicholas, don't insult our listeners. Serendipity is the chance of occurrence of events in a beneficial way, starring Kate Beckinsale and John Cusack.
Oh,
have you
please.
Seen that movie?
No, I haven't. I love Kate Beckinsale, though. She is she's bae. She's bae.
Yeah, for sure.
I watched Click for that shit.
Yeah, I know. She's the only good thing in Click. Or actually,
Christopher Walken's not bad. It's the Angel of Death. Like, that's pretty cool.
That's a good point, yeah. Epiphany, quality word. Are you a fan of Epiphany?
Yeah, I use Epiphany quite a lot, actually. I try to weave these sort of words in everyday speech as much as I can. I try to use superfluous in any which way I can. I mean, it's such a good word.
Luminescence. It's a nice sounding word, and I think we all know it means to be able to produce electrical light.
Yes.
Any more from you, mate? I've got a heap, but I don't want to hog the mic, so to speak.
I mean, I love it's more a name than a word. Aurora Borealis or Aurora Australis.
Aurora Borealis, just because of Principal Skinner.
Yeah, of course. Aurora Borealis.
happening at this time of day, at
localized
this time,
entirely within
entirely
your kitchen.
Within your kitchen. Yes. May I see it? May I see it? No. No, mother, that's just the Northern Lights. Help! Help!
Well, even like speaking of some of the Simpsons ones, cromulent. Is that a word? Like, is cromulent a word? Like, it embiggens the soul.
It embiggens the smallest
man.
And I'm speaking of Simpsons words. Doll has been added to the English dictionary thanks to the goat of cartoon characters, Homer. Gotta love the Simpsons. Oh, cromulent. Sex cauldron's a good one as well.
Sex
I like
cauldron.
Sex cauldron.
Effervescence? Is that the word?
Effervescence. Yep. And incandescence.
Incandescence. Those sort of ents words it's like really good. And acquiesce.
Yeah. The ints and us words are something that are just very sensual about.
It's more sensual words that you just don't hear in everyday speech. And it just sounds so, like if you were to use them, you'd sound like the biggest snob dickhead
ever
in the world.
Yeah.
And that's why I try to weave in superfluous in any which way I can.
Because you're a snob dickhead.
You could say that my attempts to weave in superfluous are indeed superfluous.
You could also say that they're cromulent, appearing legitimate but actually being spurious. It's number 32
That's why I asked it. I feel it's not a word, but...
It's definitely not a word.
Yeah, there you go.
It's definitely not a word. But it sounds so good. Like, the Simpsons writers that came up with that deserve all the awards.
Definitely. But if you've got any of your favourite words, or least favourite words even on a different note... Might come into that a bit next week. If you've got some nice ones, we can talk about it next week. You can hit us up at the usual places. But yeah, let us know your favourite words. Because that was a bit of a fun off topic. I really liked that one. Made me feel all happy inside saying superfluous so many times.
Mellifluous.
Oh, God, I love it. Anyway, we'll be back right after the break. You're listening to JBT Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at @JBTRealNJ. Welcome back to JBT Podcast. Last section here. We've got a bit of social media interaction this week from our good friend Stalios, hitting us up on Facebook. You can also hit us up on a few more platforms. I'll go through those. You can hit us up on Twitter. At JBT Podcast, and you can also hit us up on our personal Twitters at JBT Real NJ and at the J-Man JBT, that's Jack. We check those personal ones a lot more than our podcast one. We like a bit of the bants on the personal one, so you can hit us up there. Facebook as well, we check a lot. Facebook.com/JBT Podcast, and the emails, check daily. JBTpodcast@gmail.com if you've got any questions for us that you want us to answer in this section, essentially. But Stalios, two posts on the page this week. One regarding another good friend of the podcast, Adrian Formato, renowned Lakers fan. As of the 4th of March, 2017... Adrian Formato asks, who the hell are the New Orleans Pelicans? The fan tomato strikes again. The New Orleans Pelicans, you can just Google them, mate. The Wikipedia page is there, filled with useful information. But considering they were the center point of this year's trade, it just shows and how much he's got his Lakers blinders on.
Yeah, I know. He's just so bandwagon. It's not, but, footy season starting for him. So, the Bombers are probably occupying a lot of his.
He can, talk most people under the table when it comes to AFL. So stick to what you know, Fan Tomato. But brilliant quote there from Stalios. More of that, please. And he also hit us up with a bit of a sort of, we can discuss this one a little bit more. Obviously, Stalios being a very, very heavy Cavs fan, not a big fan of the Warriors, obviously. The Brick Brothers are in fine form. Hashtag Cavs Nation. This in light of the Splash Brothers shooting very, very poorly. I mean, I think that was after Steph's shot. It was after his 0 of 11 game, and then he shot 2 of 9, I think, the game after. And Clay not much better. So we can discuss this one a bit. And we talked about this earlier in the year as well. Do we need to worry about the Splash Brothers and the Warriors?
No. I think this is something that we can discuss in a little bit. But, you know, these guys are human. Like, they're not, you know, even Michael Jordan had his down games. Even LeBron James has his down games. Even John Wall has his down games, Nicholas.
Nah, mate. You don't know. You don't know John Wall the way I know John Wall.
Yeah,
we tie. Hashtag five deep.
I'm sure you dream about him, and they're probably
regularly.
Very sexual. Regularly. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's just a mini slump. They're going to adjust to the absence of KD, but you know, they're the Golden State Warriors. They've proven it before. They'll be back shooting 9 from 10 from 35 feet soon enough.
I mean, they've currently got an 82% win rate, so. You know, they've got some games to drop, let's just say that, even if they do decide to go on a mini slump. But, I mean, at the end of the day, they're making playoffs. They've already clinched that spot. Now it's just kind of these next 20 games are just kind of, all right, hurry up, let's get this going until we can actually start playoff basketball. I mean, it's been fun, but let's get down to the nitty-gritty, and that's when it will count. I mean, you have these slumps in the playoffs, that's when you'll be worried about them. That's when the questions get DeRozan.
DeRozan.
Can these players perform in a playoff scenario? Obviously, the blowing a 3-1 lead last year is going to escalate that if they can't do it again this season. But yeah, I think it's then we should worry about the Splash Brothers then. But the Cavs in fine form at the moment. After that sort of January slump, their February is very good. So Stelios has a lot to celebrate, I guess, so he can be a bit, I don't know, harsh on the Warriors.
Yeah.
But yeah, nice.
He's high horse.
Of course. Nice involvement there, Stelios. We love your input. And, you know, hopefully this sparks other people to hit us up on Facebook. We're very active on there. Bit of bants. I think I shut down Stelios quite a bit, shitting on his Cavs. And if you'd like to be shat on too, just hit me up. I can happily provide that service.
It reminds me of the you know the movie Not Another Teen Movie.
Yeah.
Remember how like at the end of the movie, like Aliza Dushku's character's like, oh, why can't I just find a boy who'll take a dump on my chest?
Just take a dump on my chest, yeah.
And then the guy's like, that is disgusting. How has no one taken a dump on your chest?
Yeah.
Nick can provide that service.
I can do that. My pride is not too high.
Yeah,
my standards are rock bottom.
Yeah, he sends a lot of Snapchats of him on the shitter. So he's got a lot of.
I got a lot of shit to give. I got a lot of shit to give. Let's move on, Jack. From this potty talk, I guess. That was our social media section. Thank you, Stelios, for filling up the section. We'll move on now to our DBS. And for those of you who are new to the podcast, here's how it works. We've been given 3 basketball players, both past and present, and we have to decide who will drop, bench, and who we start. It's that simple. So, Jack, this week you gave us 3 names. Any motivation, I guess, behind these names?
They're sort of young international up-and-comers, and they're definitely stars already in their own right, but you know, the future of the NBA is certainly very bright with 3 of these guys, with these 3 guys, you know, absolutely dominating and taking the game to a new level, especially on that international stage.
Beautiful. So we've got Kristaps Porzingis, Nikola Jokic, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. And I'd like to just point out in the doc that I'm reading, Jack has written Porzingis, Jokic, and Giannis because he clearly cannot spell Antetokounmpo.
Well, I would, if like there was someone made a joke about, like, you know, the fact that they literally had to, as a writer, they had to copy and paste Antetokounmpo.
You can't say it, mate. You can't say it.
Stop. I'm stuck. I will, like, I love him so much and I love his name so much. You know, normally I would bench him or drop him because I hate his name, but his game is his game is so good that I had to start him.
Antetokounmpo, there's one of my favorite words.
That's a great word, actually.
You can't pronounce it, mate. It can't be yours.
I like it so much that I can't say it. It's like, you know, it's like Voldemort, he who should not be named.
It's like taboo if you say his name.
Yeah, or like it's like the rules of Fight Club. What are the rules of Fight Club?
You don't talk about it, mate. So why are you talking about it now? What are you doing?
You just talked about it, Nick. You broke the clear rules.
Mate, DBS.
Giannis starts benching Jokic and dropping Porzingis. This is no slight to Chris Stapps. He's had a bit of a lesser year this year with all the furor that's been happening at the Knicks. He still has a crazy huge ceiling and it's a possible top 10 NBA player in the future. But it's just this year, Giannis and Jokic have been just doing some crazy things. And both of them are probably the two most improved players in the NBA. You could toss a coin. Giannis will probably win the award. But you could certainly put forth a case for Nikola Jokic and his phenomenal triple doubles and just what he can do as a passer. And the way he impacts that Denver team is just something else.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, Kristaps this year, you said it's a bit of a not disappointing, but like a lesser season this year. He's average. It's like, this is his best season yet, obviously. I mean, last year was his rookie year. He's only going to get better from here. He's averaging 18 points a game as opposed to 16 last year, taking more shots. Obviously, he's kind of moving his way into being the guy in New York, which I love. And he should already be there, personally. He should Yep. already be that the person the offense runs through primarily.
The alpha.
The alpha, yes. But I'd drop him as well, and I am going to drop him just because Jokic and Antetokounmpo have been so amazing, especially Jokic's second half of the season. And because, you know, the DBS, I like to take the DBS in terms of now. I'm starting Jokic and I'm benching Antetokounmpo. Giannis is still going to be on my team, obviously. He's an amazing player and, you know, a good bet for most improved player this year. With Jokic, in fact, like both their PERs are 26. They're both amazing players. Jokic is more about assisting than scoring. And the man can pass, and I love a good assist.
He's a very good passer.
I do love a good assist. Obviously, being a big man as well, rebounding. I mean, triple-doubles come easy to this guy. The same can be said with Giannis if he can get those passing right. But yeah, that'd be my reasoning. I think Jokic has had a better second half of the season, and as of right now, I would want Jokic on my team over Antetokounmpo. In the long run, if I were, you know, creating a team for 5 years from now, I would I'd probably want Antetokounmpo, just from his improvement this season is, you know, unforeseeable. The crazy spurt he's had in his growth. But yeah, there's, I mean, one, Jokic this
there's one
sorry
go yeah on. in terms of Jokic, mate, you there's one thing that was astounding, and Alex Kennedy of Hoops Hype on NBA on Twitter posted this amazing, it's not really a stat, it's just a piece of information. Because Nikola Jokic was picked up as a second rounder in the draft, he makes around 1.4 million this year, about 1.5 million next year, and then 1.6 million in 2018-19. That is clearly, by far, with Steph Curry, obviously, but he'll be getting his max next year, the NBA's best contract by a country mile.
Yeah,
less than $2 million a year for the next 2 years, and he is a top 10 center, top 20 player, you could argue.
Yeah, I mean, and I was listening to a podcast a few months ago. I think it was with the Bucks GM when they were talking about signing Antetokounmpo, and obviously this was towards the start of the season before All-Star when he was absolutely amazing. And he even said, you can't foresee this. Like, he didn't draft Antetokounmpo saying that he is going to be where he is right now. Every draft is going to be a gamble. And yep. It's just this Jokic gamble has been, oh my God.
Paid off.
How much has that paid off? A second round pick of his quality. And it took the Nuggets a while to realize that sort of potential, and they're starting him, you know, ever since he's started, that's when his game has increased, you know, tenfold.
But yeah, agreed.
They even you know, took that stab with giving away Nurkic and giving, you know, Jokic the keys to the mansion, essentially. It was a good move from the Nuggets, and I love his stuff. That's why he's starting for me.
Good stuff, mate.
I have no qualms with starting Giannis. Qualms. That's another good one. See, now
qualms is a good word.
This pod has made me starting to think about nice sounding words. The English language
is a wonderful thing.
So that was our DBS. So anything else you wanna add, Jack, before we say goodbye?
No, I'll just say we're killing it as always, Nicholas. Yep. And good luck with the internship stuff.
Thank you.
Keep me posted, mate.
Thank you. Just as ever, guys, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. You can find us on iTunes or any decent pod center. And also remember...
Including SoundCloud.
Yes. You can find us on SoundCloud too. And remember to rate and review the show, because you will get a shout out on the pod. And that's, you know, your life will be complete then. You know, two famous people like us, you know, saying your name. What more can you want in life? What more do peasants want? Than recognition from the Lords.
Kanye, Rihanna, Jay-Z, Beyonce, J-Man, NJ. That's those are the be all and end all.
Damn right.
That's the Illuminati. Like, we're part of that shit.
But of course it also helps people find the podcast. And that'll just help us out greatly as well. If you want to get in contact with the show, you can hit us up on Twitter, as I've mentioned before, at JBT Podcast, or using the hashtag JBT Pod. You can get in contact with us personally on Twitter at JBT Real NJ is me, and at the J-Man JBT is Jack. You can hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/JBT Podcast, or Instagram at JBT Pod, or through email at JBTPodcast@gmail.com. So remember, it's you guys that make this show great. Our social media section would be nothing without you. So we appreciate any and every post heading our way. It'll get mentioned on the pod. So until next week.
Keep balling, superstars.